Shalom, precious saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. I must begin by thanking you for the favorable comments and your questions that I received since the last program. And a couple of you I was able to call back personally. So keep them coming. And one of the questions was actually a topic that I planned to go over tonight, and that was about the book of Esther and why the Feast of Purim is not listed along with those in Leviticus 23. Well, the simple answer is that historically, like Hanukkah, it came much later. So we will address that tonight since Purim is celebrated next week. But first, just a little news. Prime Minister of Israel meets with our Congress next Tuesday to give a speech concerning Iran, particularly to ask why in the world are negotiations with Iran continuing in light of the IAEA report that Iran is still hiding nuclear components as well as its recent direct involvement of boots on the ground of the Revolutionary Guards with Hezbollah in the north and Hamas in the south, and now it's about to open a third front on the Golan Heights with threats to Israel. If they do any interference, Tel Aviv will be destroyed. Well, the Prime Minister will also warn against making any deal with Iran unless it completely does away with its uranium enrichment program. Netanyahu has his spies and anticipates that our president will make even more concessions while we continue to get nothing in return. And as of this morning, it has been leaked that Iran is only agreeing to a 10-year compromise of no increase in uranium enrichment. But will they allow spontaneous inspections from the IAEA? I doubt it. No. Now listen up, Christians. What is truly amazing is that the Prime Minister of Israel will be pleading his case in the same week as the Jews will celebrate Purim, which, if you recall, was when the Jews defeated its Persian enemies. And, of course, Persia is now Iran. Wow. So Esther successfully pled with the king of Iran, again then called Persia, to show favor to her people. However, they would still have to fight due to the king's previous unchangeable decree. So now why would God, who could have stopped it, still arrange for them to have to go to war with its enemies? It actually happens a lot, as you know. And it's, of course, to see God's glory in it. So, does history repeat itself? Well, Ecclesiastes 1 says it surely does. And Ezekiel 38 says Israel will once again have to contend with Persia. That kind of answers the question we often ask God, why me, Lord? Why do I have to go through these very tough times? You know the answer, to see God's glory. Now, no more whining or complaining. Just watch God. In other news, President Obama has all along, but now more openly it seems, been turning the war on terror right over to the terrorists. And yet another stunning development, he's ramping up the Center for Counterterrorism, that is actually a communications component of the State Department. He has appointed a new director who is a known terror-tied Muslim operative, Rashad Hussein is his name. He's a graduate from Yale, an attorney known to defend jihadists. I couldn't make this up, and it just goes on and on.
Amazing.
Not a day goes by that doesn't bring with it more evidence of the final days we are now living in. Our nation is being run by a cabal of traitors who promote and are strongly associated with Islamic radical groups. It's very clear. They are working to subvert our Constitution and our laws, and by such loose immigration standards, are flooding our nation with a replacement population, mostly Muslim refugees, many coming from Syria, to dilute and destroy American sovereignty in the process. America has, for the most part, accepted all cultures and is called the melting pot, but now we are being conditioned to accept Islam as equal to, and in some cases, superior to our own. As with the push towards Islamic Sharia law already in place in Dearborn, Michigan. It is here, church, and no one seems to have a strategy, and yet we know only their true salvation is the answer. And these radicals are now threatening American malls. And still, regrettably, Washington warns in a DHS report that domestic right-wing terror is more of a threat to us? It's mind-boggling, and it's a huge sign of where America is headed. Through my many years of study, and confirmed again even more recently, I now know without any doubt that all presidents must give account to a powerful, very rich elite, who care about the world only to the extent that it relates to their control and exploitation of it. Revelation 6 calls them the rich and mighty men of the earth. So climate change, diseases that need vaccines, gun violence, the dumbing down of our children, and much more are just their false flag tools, not a real cause. It is a means by which to destroy, for one, our industrial capacity, which carries with it the destruction of our economy, the lessening of our ability to defend our nation, and of course, spiritually, with so much immorality, false teachers, and many so-called Christians are certainly compromising true biblical beliefs. Now, I know that scripture must be fulfilled with America brought down to a more playing level field for the New World Order to really work, and I get that. But we should still pray for our leaders, including our president, for their personal salvation. If even at the very last moment of their lives, it really is sad to see a man with so much potential use it to benefit our adversary. How about you? If you don't know Jesus personally, you had better invite him into your heart right now. It's getting uglier out there. Who better to carry you and promises to keep you in joy unspeakable, even in the hard times? So, a reminder, next week on Friday, March 6th, try to join us at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, or Route 306 in Chesterland. We will talk about Esther's resolve, as well as look at the book of Joel. And now I'm going to ask my husband if he would open tonight's teaching in prayer.
Thank you, honey. I'd love to. Great news, as always. Okay, dear Abba Father, we praise you and beseech your presence over this program tonight as we lift up those special prayer requests that have recently been given to us, as well as the petitions of those listening right now, especially those with severe ailments. For we know you always hear the prayers of the righteous, and that you promise to carry us through all our afflictions. And may this teaching tonight be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear. Now, remember our new format. So to get in as much Bible study as possible, we won't be taking live calls during the program. However, I do really want your end-time questions, and we'll base much of the program's teachings on what you want to hear. So please, right now, if you, honey, could please tell our listeners how they can send us their questions.
Okay, there are three ways to do this. You can email to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or just call the office and leave a detailed message as to your question to 440-834-9006. And that number again is 440-834-9006. Or by snail mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio. And, of course, we always appreciate your love offerings, which can be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net. Thanks, honey.
And we hope that you'll definitely send in your questions. All right, up to tonight's lesson. We're going to talk about Purim. And, yes, it's not one of the seven major feasts of Leviticus 23, but nonetheless, like the Feast of Hanukkah, plays an important part in the eschatological teachings of God, as do the other seven feasts. And I feel very blessed to share this restored Hebraic roots knowledge with you. Now, as with all stories of the Tanakh, Esther, of course, is historically true, but also a typological teaching that has its end-of-days application. So let's look at some of the more obvious pictures that I saw when reading Esther. So then you can reread this wonderful story this week and pick out even more pictures on your own, because that's how you really grow, is to find them yourself. So it begins with the story of Esther. We meet King Ahasuerus, who, let's say, is a picture of God, our king. His wife, Queen Vashti, represents the unbelievers, who was called to appear before her husband, the king, but she refused. So she lost her place, and in fact, he divorced her. So a search was made for a new, more willing queen. Along came Esther. And I believe she's the type of the believers. And then Mordecai, who's her older cousin and Esther's legal guardian, who advises her, is a picture of the Messiah. And Haman, well, he's the adversary, a type of Satan who has always been trying to eliminate the Jews. Oh, and also Haggai, and he's a picture of the Holy Spirit, who actually prepares Esther for her wedding, like the Holy Spirit prepares us for our soon wedding. And by the way, looking for pictures is a lot of fun and challenging, where soon you will want to look for them in all the biblical stories. You remember what I always say a lot. Proverbs 25:2 says, basically, I'll paraphrase, where God, he likes to hide things so that we can find them. And that's really true. Okay, so after 2 years of preparations, to many women actually, the beautiful and submissive Esther, an unknown Jew, was chosen. Now in Hebrew, Esther's name is Hadassah, which means myrtle, a symbol or picture of everlasting life and a pleasant fragrance. As the story progresses, Haman, a treacherous enemy of Mordecai and all the Jews, plots to exterminate them. Now, here's a gold nugget teaching. We see in chapter 3 that Haman was an Agagite, or a descendant of the Amalekite king Agag. They were both evil characters. If you recall, Israel's first king, King Saul, from, by the way, whom Mordecai is descended, he was a Benjamite, he was supposed to annihilate all the Amalekites, and you can read about that in 1 Samuel 15. For apparently, they all had evil, bad seed, which is why even the children had to be killed as well. Did you realize Satan has seed? Well, Genesis 3 says he does, but that's certainly for another teaching. Anyhow, Saul did not kill them all. Samuel did finally kill Agag, but not soon enough. So now Saul's descendant Mordecai is faced with the descendant of the Malachite Agag. Interesting. So Saul really messed up because his disobedience in eliminating all the Amalekites shows why it is important to obey God or reap the consequences later, as we see in this story. Therefore, Haman and Mordecai are caught reenacting a scene, the stage of which had been set much earlier. Another proof that history repeats itself. Tell me this isn't truly amazing and only God could have arranged it. Well, anyway, bad guy Haman is second in command next to this Persian king, today called Iran, which, by the way, still houses the body of Esther and Mordecai in a mausoleum in Iran's city of Hamadan. After all, she was the queen of Persia. So Haman hates Mordecai. And as long as Mordecai lives, he cannot have any peace. So out of bitter jealousy, Haman lies and succeeds in destroying Mordecai's favor with the king. And the king listened to Haman and then gave the order to construct gallows on which to hang Mordecai and annihilate all the Jews. Then Haman casts lots, and that's where we get the name Purim. Pur means lot, and I-M is plural for lots. So Haman then casts lots, and some people like to call them dice, I suppose, but anyway, he did this in the first month on the biblical calendar, which is Nisan 13, to decide when to have the hanging. The lots fell on the 13th day of Adar, which is the 12th month on the Jewish calendar, and it just happens to be this month. And the 13th falls on March 4th, which is next Wednesday, the day after Netanyahu comes to speak with Congress. It just amazes me how these things work out. Anyway, when Mordecai realizes Haman's evil plan, he besieges Queen Esther to intercede with the king on behalf of her people. She tells Mordecai to fast for the next 3 days. So that would be the 13th, 14th, and 15th, still the month of Nisan, at which time Esther requests admittance to the king's presence, which, by the way, was taking a big risk, for no one could enter the king's presence under penalty of death unless he called them first, even his wife. Strange, but true. How many of us would risk our lives for our people, for the kingdom? You know, I think of so many Christians that have been martyred over the years. Many still today, as I know you hear. Did you ever ask yourself, could you be a martyr for Christ? I would consider it an honor. But anyway, going back to the king. Out of his great love for Esther, the king agrees to see her and promises her anything. Her request is for the king and Haman to come to a banquet that she will prepare for them the following day. Then again, at that banquet, the king asks her what she desires, and this time her request is for the king and Haman to come to yet another banquet the next day. Now, the 17th of Nisan, or Nisan, depending on your how you want to say it. But this is very significant, which we'll talk about in a second. So now it's Esther, during the second course of the banquet, reveals the true plot of the wicked Haman to kill all the Jews, along with the truth about herself being Jewish. So now, furious king orders Haman and his 10 sons, isn't that interesting, to be hung on the very gallows Haman had made for the Jews. And the Jewish people were spared. By the way, it was a descendant of Queen Esther's, Cyrus, who was actually prompted by God in a vision about rebuilding the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. So he was the one paved the way for its reconstruction and for the people to make Aliyah to Israel. Wow. You know, each time I read this story, I see another picture. And I'm not telling you all of them because I want you to read yourself and try to find your own pictures, for there are many more. Your own digging will bring you great reward. I absolutely promise you. And it will help you to your journey if you're not sanctified yet, because it's the washing of the water of the word that sanctifies. And I'm telling you, in these ugly days, that is going to be so very important. Because after all, we really don't know exactly what's going to be happening. We do have those blood moons coming, and a lot of people are saying times could get pretty rough. So you need to get sanctified. So that means spending time in God's word. So let's go to and talk a little bit about the 17th of Nisan, because that's an obvious typology, actually. Okay, so the 17th of Nisan was when Haman was defeated. And, of course, by that, it gave life to the Jews again, right? Well, later on, Jesus rises from the dead on Nisan 17. And, of course, that gives new life to all who believe, truly defeating Satan's hold. And also, the 17th of Nisan, the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea, giving them new life from bondage while defeating Pharaoh, who I believe is the type of the Antichrist, and his army, also a picture of defeating Satan and his demons. And we see from Genesis 8 that Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat on Nisan 17, definitely representing new life to the human race. Wow, isn't that amazing how God works that out? He's so detailed. And if Haman represents the Antichrist, who rules over 10 nations, represented by the horns in Daniel and Revelation, could that perhaps be why Haman had 10 sons? Most likely. Because God loves to hide things so we can find them. Now, if you have been a Christian for a while, it's time to advance to the next level called typology, because God desires to bless you. Now, during the month of Adar, which is this month on the Hebrew calendar, which is the date that came up on Haman's when he threw the lots, the festival of Purim. Now, in celebration, it is a time of fun, game-playing, dressing in costumes, and joyful remembrance. During the reading of Esther, Mordecai and Esther are cheered when their name is called, but Haman is booed to the point that no one wants to hear his name over the uproar. A three-cornered butter cookie filled with fruit is eaten to commemorate Haman's three-cornered hat. So why not read the book of Esther this week and have a Purim celebration on March 4th, 5th, or 6th with your children for a great learning experience while reading God's word, and let them help you make cookies. All right, we got to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ye'er Adonai panav eleka v'yuneka, Yaseh Adonai panav eleka v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next week, Sha'alu, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. See you next week. Don't forget to read Esther. God bless.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.